and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart. Berger. Beyer. Bonamici. Boone. Boquist. Bruin. Buckley. Burley. Butler. Cameron. Cannon. Clem. Cowan. Dallum. Dingfelder. Chris Edwards. David Edwards. Esquivel. Flores. Galizio. Gerard. Gelzer. Gilliam. Gilman. Gerard. Greenlick. Hannah. Holvey. Hunt. Jensen. Comp. Kotek. Krieger. Crummel. Lim. McPherson. Maurer. Minnis. Morgan. Nathanson. Nelson. Nolan. Olson. Reed. Richardson. Riley. Roblin. Rosenbaum. Schaffler. Scott. Shields. Greg Smith. Patty Smith. Thatcher. Tomei. Wisnet. Witt. Mr. Speaker. Excused. Boquist. Dallum. Minnis. Richardson.
Flag salute will be led by Representative Wayne Scott.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Our opening ceremony will be presented by Representative Mary Nolan, from Portland.
Thank you. In the interest of getting our heads focused on numbers and quantities and things budget, I wanted to share with us all some words of wisdom that I recently came across, although they are not recent words. And I've paraphrased just a bit to make them more relevant to what we do today. Our gross national product is now over $3 trillion, $13 trillion a year, and our gross state product about $150 billion. Impressive numbers. Pretty hard for any of us to comprehend. But that GNP, if we should judge America or Oregon by it, does not allow for the health of our families, the quality of their education, or the joy of their play. It is indifferent to the decency of our factories, the grandeur of our mountains, and the purity of our lakes and rivers. It says nothing about the majesty of our beaches, the serenity of our deserts, or the safety of our streets. It does not include the beauty of our poetry or the strength of our marriages. It does not measure the intelligence of our public debate or the integrity of our public officials. It weighs neither the justice of our courts nor the justness of our dealings with each other. The gross national product measures not our wit nor our courage, neither our wisdom nor our learning, neither our compassion nor devotion to country. It measures everything, in short, except that which makes life worthwhile. And it tells us everything about Oregon, except why we are proud to be Oregonians. Thank you.
Courtesies, Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like my colleagues today to offer the courtesy of the House to my daughter and her husband, Vicki and Harris Ambinder, who are seated up there with Harriet. She's my baby, and I'm very, very proud of her and happy to have her with us today. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like to introduce you to my intern, Megan Jensen. She's been in my office since February, and it's her first time on the floor. She's 22, a junior at Portland State University, majoring in political science, so you guys look out. After graduation, she's actually considering attending Lewis and Clark College to study environmental law. She's one of my constituents. She lives about 8 blocks from me. So please welcome her to the Capitol.
Representative Patty Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to extend courtesies to a visit we're going to have today from Congressman Greg Walden. And he is going to be on the side aisle, and I'm not sure because of the schedule if we're going to be able to return to courtesies. So I wanted to say he's a wonderful congressman. He lives in Hood River, and from his early days he is known the halls of this building and the floor of this house well. So I hope we'll extend the courtesies when he arrives, and if he can stay, that'd be great, and I welcome him back.
Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I hope you will join me in extending courtesies to my constituent, Liz Frinkle, who's here today from Corvallis and a member of the League of Women Voters.
And Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to extend courtesies to several members of the Oregon Farm Bureau from various counties. I won't do them all individually, but they're here in the back gallery.
Are there further courtesies? Messages from the governor.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform the Senate has passed Senate Bills 117, 253, 375, 404, 755, 777, 800, 806, 815, 859, 1041, 5521, 178, 180, 273, 288, 544, 591, 704, 814, 883, 967, 101, and adopted SJM 13.
First reading, memorials and resolutions.
SJM 13, urging Congress to reauthorize Oregon State Children's Health Insurance Program.
Measure read first time has passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. Committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Special orders of business. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 3540, relating to compensation for loss of value of private real property resulting from land use regulation, appropriating money and providing that this act shall be referred to the people for their approval or rejection.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 3540B. Representative McPherson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request permission to use a visual aid.
Representative McPherson asks for permission, unanimous consent, to use a visual aid. Is there an objection? Seeing none, please go ahead.
Colleagues, what you see here is a map of the Willamette Valley with the Measure 37 claims shown in red. As you consider your votes on House Bills 3540 and 3546 today, I urge you to look at this map and think about the consequences of those votes for this one region and all other regions of a state that we all care deeply about. Ballot Measure 37 was pitched to us in 2004 with a core idea. When a land use regulation reduces the value of property, the government should pay compensation to the owner or else waive that regulation. Over 60% of us said yes to that core idea. It seemed only fair. And we saw images of elderly Oregonians who wanted to split off a home site or two or three so that their kids could live with them near them in their old age and to provide for their financial security. We wanted to be fair, particularly to these seniors, many of whom are from what the author and newscaster Tom Brokaw has called the greatest generation, those who were raised in the Great Depression and fought World War II. But we now have 2.5 years of experience with Measure 37. This is a good time to see whether it's delivering the fairness it promised. That's what the Special Joint Committee on Land Use Fairness found. We found that Measure 37 is not working in delivering the fairness that was intended. Measure 37 committed to pay compensation but provided no funding source. It made the classic empty promise. It leaves the state and the counties, where most claims have gone, with only one option for a valid claim, to waive land use regulations. Measure 37 is also quite arbitrary in how it identifies ownership. The very same claimant is required to have been the owner since the regulation took effect. This is hard on widows. If the property was acquired in her husband's name, the widow's ownership dates back only to the date of his death. Furthermore, the courts have held that rights under a Measure 37 waiver are personal to the claimant and cannot be transferred. Because the waiver expires on the claimant's death, commercial lenders will not offer mortgages for development on Measure 37 waivers. This makes the waivers useless to most elderly claimants, the ones featured in the ads of the campaign to pass the measure, because they cannot borrow the funds necessary to develop. Ironically, large corporations are much better positioned to use Measure 37 because they will never die, and they can tap their corporate treasuries to finance development. Over 7,000 claims have been filed under Measure 37, about half of them in a single 5-week period last fall. While a majority of the claims are for only a few rural home sites, some of them are for large subdivisions on Oregon's best farm and forest lands. And if the waiver is not granted within 180 days of the date of the claim, the state or the county is liable for the amount of compensation proved, plus attorney's fees. The total value of the compensation claimed under Measure 37 exceeds $15 billion. The measure provides no fairness for Oregonians who own property near a claim. Many farmers have large investments in land and equipment relying on the exclusive farm use zoning of properties around them. Their normal farming practices will create conflict with new neighbors who don't understand that aerial spraying and manure spreading are part of country life. The measure is also unfair to people who depend on groundwater wells. Large rural subdivisions, with each home sinking a new well into the shared aquifer, will lower the water table. Oregonians with existing wells will be forced to drill deeper or to sue their neighbors to cut off the new wells. Seeing all these problems with Measure 37 and how it's working, our Fairness Committee recommends to you House Bill 3540. This bill would amend Measure 37 to deliver the fairness voters said they wanted. To make sure we have correctly reflected voter intent, the amendments to Measure 37 do not take effect until they are approved by the people at a special election. This referral to the people addresses each of the problems we identified in Measure 37. It provides compensation by permitting home sites on valid claims. By limiting the number of home sites, the referral balances the rights of the claimant with the rights of nearby property owners who relied on land use regulations in choosing where to build their homes or to grow their businesses. Like the original Measure 37, the referral limits the home sites to the number the owner could have developed when he acquired the property. But under the referral, up to 3 home sites are allowed without having to prove any reduction in value. By allowing what we are calling an express lane for up to 3 home sites, we expect that most claims can be handled simply and promptly. A claimant who wants more home sites can get them by proving a real reduction in value. This is done with an appraisal showing the value of the land before and after the land use regulation took effect. The amount of the reduction is increased by interest to the present day and then divided by the current value of a home site to arrive at an additional number of home sites. But the overall result is limited to 10 home sites per property and 20 home sites per claimant statewide. These limits assure that Measure 37 primarily benefits individual Oregonians and not large corporations. The referral protects Oregon's natural resource economy by allowing only the three home sites of the express lane on high-value farmland that is zoned exclusive farm use and on high-value forest land. It also protects existing water users by applying that same limit to three home sites in areas designated by the state as groundwater limited or critical. Furthermore, the three home sites are limited in size and must be clustered to preserve the productivity of the remainder of the property. The referral fixes other problems with Measure 37. An owner's spouse is credited with ownership, so a widow doesn't lose rights on her husband's death. Under the referral, a Measure 37 waiver transfers on sale of the property or on death. This transferability will enable elderly claimants to borrow the money necessary to develop the home sites or to realize the value of their property by selling it to someone else who can do so. Because the waiver rights expire 10 years after first transfer, nearby property owners will gain protection as time moves on. To this point, I've been describing provisions on past land use regulations. Measure 37 continues to apply going forward to new land use regulations with clarifications provided by the referral to reduce the number of lawsuits. It defines land use regulation as restrictions on residential development and certain controls on farming and forestry practices. It also clarifies the scope of the public health and safety exception provided in the original Measure 37. The referral includes a threshold requiring at least a 10% reduction in the value of property before the right to compensation or waiver is triggered. This threshold will avoid disputes over regulations that have only a minimal impact on value. To prevent governments from avoiding the threshold with a series of new regulations, a 25% threshold applies for all actions within a five-year period. Regulation of farming and forestry practices are not subject to this threshold, showing our commitment to preserving these pillars of Oregon's economy. This referral will make Measure 37 work better by focusing it on individual Oregonians and their right to build homes. By limiting the number of homes, it will avoid unfairness to Oregonians who would be harmed by large-scale development. By giving transferability for the homes it allows, the referral gives claimants a right they can actually use. But what if a property owner believes he should get the original Measure 37, just the way the voters passed it in 2004? The referral provides that any property owner whose rights are vested under common law can proceed under the original measure. But that owner won't get transferability of waiver rights, won't get protection for widows, and won't get the clarifications provided by the referral. House Bill 3540 puts Oregon voters in charge. They can decide whether this set of amendments will better deliver the fairness they said they wanted when they voted for Measure 37. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Galizio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier?
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
Thank you, Representative. So I've gotten quite a bit of communication to my office, so I had some questions for you. One, first is, with the ballot measure, Measure 37, it was pretty simple, kind of a yes-no vote, yet I'm looking at a bill that's some 23 pages. Why do we need to replace a simple measure with a lengthy 23-page document?
Ballot Measure 37 was short. It wasn't simple. It has spawned, as I mentioned earlier, nearly 200 lawsuits because of all the ambiguities and complexities that are hidden in those few words. What this measure does is to provide the detail that to actually deliver on the commitment that Measure 37 made, providing Oregonians with fairness, and it provides some clear pathways so that they can get to that fairness.
Thank you. Another question?
Additional questions? Carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
So another critique that constituents of mine have been saying is that 3540 guts Measure 37. What is left of Measure 37 in this bill?
That statement is nonsense. This Measure 37 is still here. The core idea of Measure 37 was that when there is a land use regulation that reduces the value of a person's property, they should either get compensation or a waiver of that regulation. And that is still in this measure. We simply have clarified a range of items. We've provided some pathways to certainty so that the property owner who gets a waiver of a land use regulation can actually do something with that waiver.
Additional question?
Additional question to the carrier. Does carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
So in Section 12, it talks about laws enacted after May 15, 2007. Why are only laws that are enacted after May 15, 2007 covered by the prospective part of Measure 37?
When we're providing different treatment for those retrospective claims, ones that have already been received, and those going forward, we have to have some demarcation between the two. And actually, it's a pretty clear line in this case because there was a procedural requirement under the original Measure 37 that required claims to be made by December 4 of 2006 in order to avoid additional burdens to the claimant. And so we received a lot of claims from those people. A few have come in since then, but this establishes a current line on which we can separate the past from the future. And of those in the past, 70% of the claimants will get relief under two of the pathways to certainty that we've created in this measure.
Final question?
Final question. Does Kerry yield?
I do.
He does.
Representative, Sections 17 and 18 refer to the position of ombudsman. And could you just enlighten us as to the function of the ombudsman?
The ombudsman is a concept that has been in place in a number of places around the world. It comes from Scandinavia, and the concept is somebody to be an advocate for the ordinary citizen, somebody who can help them deal with their processes of government so they can get the rights that they're entitled to. That's the function that's being provided here, so that small claimants who aren't that sophisticated can accomplish what they need to and not be dealing with a difficult structure of administrative agencies that is hard for them to get a successful result from.
Thank you.
Representative Wisnett rises to ask for a call of the House. He is joined by Representative Nelson, Representative Gilman, Representative Thatcher, Representative Flores, and Representative Richardson. Doorkeepers will bar the doors. Sergeant of Arms will attend, and clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart. Berger. Beyer. Bonamici. Boone. Boquist. Bruin. Buckley. Burley. Butler. Butler Cameron. Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Garrard, Gelzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlake, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Hunt Jensen, Jensen Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei,
Wisnett. Witt. Mr. Speaker. Not answering. Butler. Jensen. Excused. Not subject to the call. 3. Boquist. Dallum. Minnis.
Come to order. All members are present for the debate. Representative David Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
Thank you, good representative. My first question is, will the high-value farmland screen eliminate most claims in the Willamette Valley?
It will not, in fact, because the claimant still has rights. As I mentioned in my opening, up to 3 home sites are available for every property owner who has a valid claim. So they're assured of getting 3 home sites, and of course we know how valuable those are in the Willamette Valley now. The impact of being in high-value farmland or groundwater limited or critical areas or high-value forest land is that the opportunity to develop more than 3 home sites is not available.
Thank you for that clarification. Mr. Speaker, additional question?
Clarification or additional question? Do you yield?
I do.
He does.
Is all high-value farmland and all high-value forest land excluded from the conditional path?
The answer is no. In order to be excluded, the high-value farmland must also be, look at my notes here, I've forgotten this point. It has to be both high-value farmland and zoned for exclusive farm use. So being high-value farmland alone does not mean that it cannot get the 4 to 10 home sites that are available under the conditional path.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, additional question?
Additional question. Does Kerry yield?
I do.
He does.
Won't the high-value forest land screen eliminate most of the rest of the claims in Western Oregon?
There are many areas that are high-value forest land, but there also are significant areas in Western Oregon that do not qualify as high-value forest land. And again, I should remind you that what we've done is we have taken, by taking high-value farmland and high-value forest land, we've identified those which are our most productive natural resource base in the state and avoided having undue impacts on the productivity of those lands, still allowing up to 3 home sites in those areas.
Mr. Speaker, one final question.
A final question. Do you yield?
I do.
He does.
Measure 37 contained exemptions for laws preventing nuisances, laws protecting health and safety, and laws required by federal law. What happened to those exemptions in 3540B?
Those exemptions are retained, and they're clarified so that we create greater certainty in this fixed version of Measure 37, because what we found was that the scope of those exemptions, which were in the original measure, were not providing the clarity that Oregonians needed. And so with that, with these clarifications, we think we have a much more efficient and understandable process for Oregon property owners.
Thank you, good representative. Mr. Speaker, I request unanimous consent to use a visual aid. Can I speak to the bill?
Are you speaking to the bill? Are you speaking to the bill?
Yes, I am.
To the bill. Representative asks for unanimous consent to use a visual aid. Is there an objection? Seeing none, please go ahead.
Thank you. Esteemed colleagues, assembled guests, although the substance of this proposed referendum may be complex, its purpose is simple. It is designed to preserve the sense of fairness at the heart of Measure 37, and at the same time, curtail its worst unintended consequences. Let me first talk about the issue of fairness. For the record, while I consider Measure 37 too far-reaching, I agree with its main purpose, to ensure fairness for property owners. The law allows claimants to use their land as they could have when they purchased their property and receive either a waiver to make changes or just compensation. The difficulty lies in implementing the law. Measure 37 provides no guidelines for determining the value of claims and no funds for paying them. This means government agencies making decisions on Measure 37 claims are left with no option but to waive regulations, often to the detriment of neighboring properties. To be truly fair, our land use laws need to protect the value of everyone's property. This proposed referendum is necessary in order to make sure Measure 37 treats everyone fairly, claimants, neighbors, and developers, and above all, preserves our quality of life. At present, Measure 37 unfairly gives claimants the greatest standing under the law. This situation threatens to undermine rational land use planning and associated economic development, as well as critical public health goals like maintaining air, land, and water quality. To better understand what the current configuration of Measure 37 means to my hometown and the surrounding area, I'd like you to direct your attention to the map of Washington County up at the front. This map depicts all of the Measure 37 claims filed in Washington County by January 24th of this year. Each claim is identified in red. As you can see, a substantial portion of the county, about 73,898 acres, is covered by Measure 37 claims. That's the greatest concentration of Measure 37 claims in the state. These claims are estimated to cost the county about $1 million in processing and have an estimated value based on the total requested compensation of about $2.3 billion. That's billion with a B. With this patchwork quilt of development, how can we possibly implement effective land use planning and ensure equitable economic growth? I grew up in Washington County. It is where I spent my days reading and drawing and playing outside with friends. It is where I went to school and met my wife and earned my first paycheck. It is where I learned to dream. I owe everything I have to this community, and one of the things I treasure most about it is its abundant open spaces, the farms and fields passed down from generations of Oregonians for the benefit of all. As currently interpreted, though, Measure 37 could mean these landscapes fade away before my two elementary school-age boys leave home for college. The negative impacts of Measure 37 on farmers in my community are even more disheartening. These impacts include the following: growing citizen complaints about farm dust, noise, chemical use, lights, and equipment road use, as well as late night and early morning work, a greater frequency of theft, trespassing, and attendant crop destruction, a reduction of existing domestic and irrigation water supplies, steep increases in the price of farmland as Measure 37 developments proliferate, turning rural roads into suburban streets, and ultimately, severe losses of farmland as subdivisions preclude profitable farm practices. One of my constituents, Mark Van Ash, recently testified on this aspect of Measure 37. Mark is a student at Oregon State University majoring in agricultural business management. He hopes to return to his family's Washington County grass seed operation after graduation and become a fifth-generation farmer. During his testimony, Mark said, "My family made a commitment to continue to farm in Washington County shortly after Senate Bill 100 became law in 1973. Prior to that time, Washington County was experiencing urban sprawl. State land use planning has since confined urbanization to cities and allowed agriculture to thrive within the exclusive farm use zone."
DeMay yields.
Thank you, Representative. The success of our family farm has been based on our property rights to farm with little conflict between us and non-farm neighbors. Money is not the most important thing in my family's life. That's why my grandmother did not file a claim on her 150 acres. In all honesty, I love where I live. It is a beautiful area, and I want to live there the rest of my life, but not across the street from a suburb. In its present form, Measure 37 gives the development claims of Mark's neighbors greater standing than his own. How is that fair? The referendum before us promises to balance the rights of individual landowners with the collective needs of the community. It provides a fair requirement to document Measure 37 claims, a reasonable formula to determine the amount of compensation due, and a way for those with modest claims to move forward quickly and easily. Moreover, the referendum expands the scope of Measure 37 by making development rights transferable to new owners and giving them a reasonable amount of time to exercise those rights. Now, some argue that House Bill 3540B defies the will of the majority. For my part, however, doing nothing would constitute an abdication of our collective responsibility. We are representatives of the people, elected to make considered judgments on behalf of our constituents and Oregonians as a whole. The wisdom of our nation's founders is that they were not content to merely follow public opinion. Rather, they sought to educate and inform their fellow citizens. We should follow in their footsteps and give the public the benefit of our diverse perspectives. Our fellow citizens will, after all, appropriately have the final say on this matter. To my mind, fairness in a democracy requires defining equal, basic liberties. Individual rights, like those codified by Measure 37, cannot be justified solely on the basis of protecting personal freedoms from government intervention, because sometimes government intervention is not only beneficial and desirable, but necessary for the proper functioning of our small R republic. We are, after all, invariably dependent on one another, interconnected. I understand well-meaning people may disagree on the particulars of this referendum. I will be the first to admit it is not perfect, but I consent to it with all its potential faults because I expect none better. Where demands conflict and the evidence is ambiguous, compromise of the type represented by this referendum is sometimes the only principled solution. And most importantly, if we fail to pass this measure, many Oregonians will see their closely held futures slip away without a chance to reclaim them. To those who may still have objections to this referendum, I wish you would doubt your infallibility enough to lend your support. Do not dismiss the evidence of this world for the sake of some simple ideological purity. Make no mistake, the eyes of Oregon citizens, especially its future farmers, ranchers, and foresters, are fixed on you. Their hearts go out to you, and their hopes hang on your vote like the dead weight of a clock. So I ask you to cast a yes vote for House Bill 3540B, and then each of us can argue its advantages and disadvantages as we see fit in the court of public opinion.
Colleagues, in recognition that we may have a lengthy debate, I'm setting the House at ease under the call, which means that you can use the restrooms in the Speaker's office. Further debate, Representative Richardson.
Just go as long as you can.
Question to the carrier.
Question to the carrier. Does carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
Mr. Speaker, I request consent to use a visual aid.
Representative Richardson asks for unanimous consent to use a visual aid. Is there any objection? Hearing none, please go ahead.
Thank you. I have kind of a series of questions I need to bring out for clarification. The first one relates to the high-valued farmland that you discussed earlier. It's on page 2. And for ease of the body, I would refer us to the map that has been distributed that says American Viticultural Areas of Oregon. First question is, did the committee, the Fairness Committee, ever see the viticultural area map during its deliberations?
Thank you, Representative, for that question. This was not a mapping exercise. We weren't drawing district lines the way people do in a redistricting process. We were trying to identify what was good policy, and we believed that having a limited amount of development allowed on our high-value farmland and forest land was the right thing to do, but only a limited amount of development, so that above 3 home sites would be inappropriate in anything that is a highly productive farm or forest land.
Mm-hmm. Additional question?
Additional question, does Kerry yield?
I do.
He does.
Certainly that is appropriate. This is not a mapping exercise, but when we put in limitations that affect something that is so broad as the Measure 37 amendment to the Constitution, Did you yourself ever see what was included in these vitrocultural maps during your deliberation on this bill, since these limitations are included in the bill?
First, I need to correct one statement you made of the reference to the Constitution. Measure 37 was not an amendment to the Constitution, nor is this referral to the people an amendment to the Constitution. What we're dealing with here, colleagues, is a statute. What we got in the work group that developed this House Bill 3540, we got input on what were the productive viticulture lands of our state, and because that has become such an important dimension of Oregon's agricultural industry, we wanted to make sure that we were preserving those lands, and we took a definition that we were convinced would identify those very productive lands.
Additional question?
Additional question of the carrier. Does Kerry yield?
I do.
He does.
Was the effect of the value or of having properties or the number of claims that would be included in these vitrocultural areas considered by you or the committee?
Representative, we considered the scope of development that was being allowed, and we, in effect, struck a balance because there are two sets of property owners who are affected by Measure 37 claims. The claimants themselves, who are affected by a land use regulation, but also by all those other property owners around them who relied on the land use regulation in deciding where to locate their home or where to invest in a business. And so the limitations on the number of home sites reflects, in effect, a balance between the rights of those two groups. A limited right on the part of the property owner who is exercising the Measure 37 claim, balanced against the rights of all other Oregonians who are affected by that decision.
Additional question?
Additional question. Is Kerry yield?
I do.
He does.
On page 3, in subparagraph 14, it discusses land use regulations, and it talks repeatedly about provisions that restrict the residential use of private real property. There's no indication in any of this that landowners with claims that involves property that is commercial or industrial use are covered. Are those properties excluded from further consideration under Measure 37?
Representative, going forward, the definition of land use regulation does apply to residential uses and farm and forestry practices, but it does not preserve rights for industrial and commercial uses. The principal form of claim that has been made that is not for residential uses is for billboards. And this bill does not extend protections to billboard owners. And that was an important policy choice that we were going to look at. What were the drivers? What were people thinking about when they embraced this concept of fairness? And we concluded that they weren't thinking about billboards.
A clarification question?
Clarification. Does Kerry yield?
Yes, I do.
He does.
I understand the focus on billboards, which certainly are just along major thoroughfares, but am I correct that in the future it's not just restricting commercial industrial lands relating to billboards, but all commercial industrial lands wherever the claims might be located, even if they're away from thoroughfare?
Well, commercial and industrial claimants who have Measure 37 rights can exercise those rights with residential development because they can realize substantial value through residential development. But that's where the focus has been. The great majority of claims have been for residential uses, and the policy choice reflected in this bill is to provide compensation because no dollars were made available by the measure. There's no funding source. So the solution is to provide limited development rights in the form of residential development to provide just compensation to property owners.
Thank you. Further question?
Further question. Is Kerry yield?
I do.
He does.
I refer you to page 20 of the bill where it relates to judicial review. This is section 16. And is it correct that anyone, regardless of whether they own property or not, who makes a comment in a timely manner to a public entity concerning determination orders or a determination on a claim would then have a right to bring an action for judicial review.
Thank you, Representative. That's an important question. I want to make sure that I give you the right answer. The answer to the question is yes, and that is a continuation of the existing land use system.
Follow-up question. Does Carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
This is a really important issue. I just want to make sure. So even if a person has no stake in the direct outcome of the claim, if they could even be from another state, I mean, they could be from anywhere, but they if they show up and file a comment, then they have standing to bring about a judicial review action, a petition in circuit court that could actually be appealed all the way up.
Representative, I am not an expert in land use law, but what I do understand is that this bill doesn't change the existing law in that respect. So whatever rights other parties may have, they have. This bill doesn't change the situation.
One more question.
One more question. Does Kerry yield?
I do.
He does.
Are you aware of any plans or discussions to remove the provision that refers this bill to the people, that any action or plan or discussion that this might take place once this bill gets to the Senate?
Representative, I'm not aware of any plan to remove the referral once this bill gets to the other chamber. And if that were to happen, if it passes today as a referral, and if that were to happen, it would have to come back to this chamber for concurrence. And so if there's anybody who's concerned that they're voting for a referral and that's going to get changed, they will have another chance to vote on that proposal.
Okay, just clarification.
A clarification? Do you yield?
I do.
He does.
The clarification was, the question was, are you aware of any plans or discussion? And your answer says you're not aware of any plan. So does that mean, can we infer that you are aware that that's being discussed?
There are no plans or discussions. I've heard rumors around when you have discussion about a major vote coming up, where in which I've heard people saying, well, they think that people who are maybe opposed to this claiming such a thing might happen. I have not been part of discussions to remove the referral once this bill gets out of this chamber. And I would point out, it would, for us to bring across this floor a referral with the plan of bringing it back as a non-referral, because it would have to come here for concurrence, doesn't sound like very good procedural strategy to me.
Thank you. Just the final question for clarification.
The really final question.
This is the final one.
Does the Carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
I just want to make sure that this is complicated. And so what we're hearing from the answers is that this bill will provide various alternatives to, as far as numbers of homes or partitions that can take place, depending on where property is located, that it does not apply to industrial or commercial claims, and that if you fail to comply with this bill, then whatever else might have been included in the original Measure 37 is being superseded essentially by what is set forth in this bill.
Those property owners who have vested rights under common law can proceed under the original Measure 37, and they have all the rights that Measure 37 gives them. What this bill does is to provide pathways to certainty for people who are harmed by not having transferability of their rights, and if they will then elect to embrace those pathways to certainty, that is the 1 to 3 home sites without having to prove a loss in value, or 4 to 10 by proving and documenting that they have a remaining loss in value, then that's their pathway forward along with transferability of those rights.
Thank you, and I thank you for your patience and the answers that you gave.
My pleasure.
Mr. Speaker, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of amending House Bill 3540B engrossed by adopting the House Bill 3540-B25 amendments that are on the member's desk in this chamber at this time.
Representative Richardson moves that the rules be suspended for the purposes of amending House Bill 3540 by adopting the -25 amendments, B25 amendments, which are sitting on members' desks. You will find them, and they will say from the desk of Representative Richardson. This is not a debatable motion. Those are the opinion that the rules should be suspended for the purpose of allowing an amendment. As stated, will vote aye. Those opposed to suspending the rules will vote no, and the clerk will open the voting system. If there are any representatives in the Speaker's office, they need to come back to the floor immediately. Representative Thatcher, how do you vote? Representative Thatcher votes aye. The motion to suspend the rules, having not received the required 40 votes, is declared failed. Representative Richardson, you still have the floor.
To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, Jonathan Carver, Gustavus Hines, Edward D. Baker, the names that surround the ceiling of these halls, these hallowed halls, are the founders of our state. They own, for the most part, real estate. If they were here today discussing this bill, do you think that they could have imagined the day would come that the government says when you could build a house on your property and when you cannot build your house on your property? The times have changed. The population has changed, and we now have House Bill 3540, which was revealed for the first time last Thursday night. It wasn't vetted, but it's merely passed out in its A version and sent to Ways and Means. Tuesday of this week, it went to a subcommittee on Ways and Means, and without being vetted, without public scrutiny and debate, it was passed to full Ways and Means, where it was then considered on the same day. Now, we know that the members of Ways and Means full committee are very bright people, but there's no reason to expect that they have any knowledge or deep understanding relating to the intricacies of land use planning, Measure 37, and the consequences of House Bill 34B. And it turned into a B because they then passed out of their committee the B version without vetting, without consideration by those that are affected by it the most. Now, just 3 days later, it's on the House floor. And we have the opportunity to give it a limited debate, limited scrutiny, and then it's going to pass. But it's going to pass unless we make the decision that this bill has not been adequately reviewed to accomplish things that it is purported to accomplish. Rarely has there been a bill that's been fast-tracked in the manner that this bill has. House Bill 3540B is 23 pages of complex legalese that neuters the intent and thwarts the will of many Oregon voters who passed Measure 37. Some examples. Page 8. Line 22 and 23 says that property that is not high-valued farmland or high-valued forest land and that is not in a groundwater-restricted area is eligible for 4 to 10 site approvals. And so we've been told that you're going to be able to build 3 homes in some instances and between 4 and 10 in others. Of course, what wasn't emphasized was to build your 3 homes, it means that there's no homes on the property. If you already have 2 homes on the property, sorry, you can build 1 more, but you don't get to build 3 homes. You just barely can have 3 homes on the property when all is said and done. But if you happen to have property that already has 3 homes on it, then we will throw a bone to you and give you the opportunity to build 1 more home, no matter the size of the property. That is a limitation. And then when we talk about 4 to 10, that only applies for properties that are not in high-value farmland. Of course, we're on page 8. We have to go back to page 2 to figure out what high-value farmland is for more legalese. And then we see between lines 23 and 40 a bunch of exclusions or definitions about what high-valued farmland really means. That's where the map comes into play. Because if you'll look at this map, which, by the way, was not reviewed in any of the committees, was not even reviewed by the members of the Fairness Committee. And this map, by the way, is awfully hard to come by. I was only able to find one yesterday. But you'll see on the map areas that are circled or in different colors. Those areas are all American viticultural areas of Oregon. Now, we know that these areas were promised we'd have between 4 and 10 unless the property is located in these areas, and then there's subdivisions in the areas, and we can't even figure out what part of the areas really apply. But in those instances, you could have only 3 dwellings maximum. So basically, where the people are, you're limited, but where the people aren't...
Was it any Burley yields?
So we then look down and see that this bill eliminates landowners who have industrial or commercial property from the claims that they had based on the 61% vote of the people. This bill focuses on compensation, then makes it so the process to qualify with multiple appraisals and so forth so expensive and complicated that few will be able to comply with the requirements and perfect their claims. It also subtly removes from Oregon counties the rights for local decision-making jurisdiction. On page 11, and that's why I said this is legalese, because the bold print gives you the rights, the fine print takes them away. So on page 11, lines 7 through 9, it says, if the department determines that the only land use regulations that restrict the claimant's use of the property are regulations that were enacted by the county, the department shall transfer the claim to the county. Well, you have to read that a few times to figure out what it's saying. Of course, what it's really saying is, if there is a state regulation that applies to the claim, and by far most claims do have a state regulation, then the state will retain jurisdiction and take it away from local decision-making capability in your counties. In addition, another example of how the large print appears to give Measure 37 claimants hope, while the small print snatches away that hope, is on page 10, lines 13 and 14. Listen to this, this as far as going through the maze of legalese. Relief may not be granted under this section if the highest and best use of the property was not residential use at the time the land use regulation was enacted. Well, what is that saying? It's saying you have a right to a claim for 4 to 10 homes,
so long as, at the time the regulations came into being, there wasn't some other allowable use that could have been applied to the property. I called a land use attorney and ex-county commissioner and asked, what would be some of the things that could apply as far as highest and best use for more rural land? He said, off the top of his head, a golf course, cemetery, aggregate mine, you know, for sand and gravel, rural commercial gas stations or convenience stores, wine tasting rooms, schools, churches, recreational park, fishing ponds, ecological park, animal reserve, dog kennel, shooting range, privately owned campground, resort, landing strip for a private airplane, or a horse stable. I mean, so if any of those could have applied to the property that you were just using for a home or just wanted to have a home, that would mean that you don't qualify for the 4 to 10, but you're back into the restriction of 3 or less total number of dwellings. The large print gives the hope. The small print takes it away. Finally, the appeals process. Page 20. This is vitally important to anybody who's ever had to hire a lawyer or fight for their rights, because as you often know, it's not cheap. Section 16 on page 20, and I'll only read the pertinent language, says, a person that is adversely affected may obtain judicial review. Now, judicial review means you file an action in circuit court, or you can appeal that action if you don't get, you know, if it's appealable, all the way to the Supreme Court. That's if it's a county regulation. But we already saw that most of the regulations will be in the state. So now we've got anyone who has the ability to file this appeal, they can file, if it's in a state regulation, in Marion County. So you may have a Major 37 claim in Ontario or in Lakeview, but as you look under subparagraph 2 on line 20, it defines who can do this. A person is adversely affected under this section if they timely submit, and then the last part of 22 and 23, they submit comments to a public entity concerning the determination. Colleagues, what this says is that in any claim, if there happens to be an organization that doesn't like Measure 37 claims, and they have a representative who shows up at the determination hearing, and they file a comment saying, I don't like this and I think it's a bad deal, they have standing, if there's a state regulation, to then file a petition in circuit court in Marion County to try and fight the determination that the claim might go through. And they can appeal it to an appellate court, and they can appeal it to the Supreme Court.
President Berger yields.
So we find ourselves faced, if we were the citizens, and certainly we represent the citizens all over this vast state, that we are giving to a small group of well-organized and well-funded anti-Measure 37 claim individuals the power to appeal each and every Measure 37 claim that they choose to appeal to circuit court, not to an arbitrator. So you have to have a judge. Now you're going to have a circuit court judge. That means you've got to have attorneys, and it's appealable to the appellate court level and the Supreme Court level. Colleagues, this judicial review procedure is a weapon to outspend landowners, and it's been used with LUBA and LCDC before, but this takes it to a whole new level, because Measure 37 claims are not, for the most part, with developers and those kinds of things, they're folks, people that have had land. Most of them are elderly because the land they had to have qualified for to build on it before regulations came in place, and most of those regulations came in the 70s, 80s, and up to 1994. In closing, House Bill 3540B is a bill being sold as a solution while delivering nothing but more expense, delays, and broken promises to Oregon citizens. It is a bad bill that shows little respect for the thousands and thousands of Oregon voters that passed Measure 37. This bill does not help the people that we are called upon to serve. It merely harms them in a subtle and sophisticated treatise of legalese. Let's set aside the political aspects. Let us work to craft a meaningful solution and truly fix Measure 37 in a balanced way that is not done in House Bill 3540B. This is a fatally flawed bill. Let's reject it.
Further discussion, Representative Clem.
Mr. Speaker, I request two visual aids on the clipboard and one book I'd like to read from at one point.
Representative Clem asks for unanimous consent to use a visual aid. Is there an objection? Hearing none, please go ahead. Are you speaking to the bill?
To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, today I rise in support of House Bill 3540, and I do so on behalf of the generations of Oregonians, ancestors of yours and mine, who have made their living off the land and in doing so made Oregon the Eden that so many others covet. And my ancestors' names aren't up on this chamber. Thomas Jefferson Clem, Peter Amos Clem, Clark James Clem. They farmed for 110 years in total in Lane and Linn counties. In doing this, they made Oregon, and your ancestors, and many of you have made Oregon what it is today. But more importantly, I rise to support House Bill 3540 on behalf of the future, on behalf of those young farmers who want to continue to make their living off the land, and in doing so, feed and clothe and house the rest of this state, this country, and this world. The Willamette Valley has the best farmland in the world, hands down. And countless Oregonians before has made an investment that continues to this day in its preservation for future use. It is very important to remember, however, for all of us and all Oregonians, that farmland is not a park. Farmland is not a view site. It is not a playground. Farmland is where real people work every day in noise and dust and spray and smell to feed the rest of us, their families, and humanity. Now, this body has made a good start this session and must continue to make every effort to improve the health of the agricultural economy financially. Today, we have the opportunity to ensure that there will be a viable land base available and as conflict-free as possible for people to grow the crops that will end up in yards, in markets, on tables, at homes, and in schools, both here and around the world. In 1972, an effort called Project Foresight was undertaken here in Oregon, and 275 town hall meetings were held with thousands upon thousands of citizens from all over Oregon participating in a discussion of the future of our state and focusing in on the future of the Willamette Valley. I want to read to you from a letter dated September 29, 1972. I was 17 days old when this letter was written by Governor Tom McCall. Fellow Oregonians and friends, the Willamette Valley of Oregon is one of the most beautiful valleys in the world. Stretching from Eugene in the south to the Columbia River in the north, from the snowy summits of the Cascades to the blue heights of the coastal range, it is a verdant, fertile land, still largely untrampled by humanity. Today, the future of the valley is in question. Will the valley fall prey to a now familiar pattern of uncoordinated growth and urban sprawl? Or can its people working in community build a different future? Can they articulate their own ideas for the valley through a more responsive network of government? Can so vast a geographical area coordinate its growth under the common will of the people? Project Foresight meets these questions head on. In doing so, it has proven to be one of America's most ambitious undertakings. For 2 years, the work has been long and tedious, taxing the patience and reserves of technicians, planners, citizens, and public officials. Today, Project Foresight has come of age. Scenarios, descriptions of alternate futures have been prepared for the Willamette Valley to focus attention on various courses Oregonians can take in valley development. The scenario is a new concept and communication method. It is not a plan, but rather sets the stage for improved citizen involvement and problem identification. A cynic once grumbled, "All man has learned from the past is that he has learned nothing from the past." Will the next generation say the same? Will bitter hindsight be their lot, or can they rise up to enjoy the fruits of our foresight? It is still within our hands to set an example for all to follow. Project Foresight is our response to this most challenging responsibility. Sincerely, Tom McCall, Governor of Oregon. So this book, this project, imagined Oregon 30 years later. It traveled the state telling people what Oregon might look like in 2002. Well, folks, we no longer have to imagine what Oregon looks like in 2002. It's several years past that. And we can see and judge for ourselves the results of the efforts that Oregonians made in the 70s to protect farmland in the Willamette Valley. I now want us to turn, much like these Oregonians did in 1972, to a view of the future of the Willamette Valley and farmland in the years to come. My visual aids are Clackamas County. You've seen Washington County. That's Hood River County, which we'll remind you is not in the Willamette Valley. And those are the claims laid on top of high-value farmland.
Representative Chris Edwards Yields.
Thank you, Representative. Now, unlike Project Foresight's illustrations and drawings in this old book, this is not hypothetical. This is real. These are the actual Measure 37 claims in red. And on your desk, I have the Marion County maps. They are Measure 37 claims in red set on top of high-value farmland in Marion County, my county, the single largest producer of agricultural value in this state. When I see these maps, my stomach sinks. My hope fades. Because I know firsthand the effects of this reality on farming. I want to articulate the three main problems from my point of view with this scenario, as provided by Measure 37, intentional or not, that House Bill 3540 to a great extent resolves. These are valuation, whether actually somebody actually lost value, water on both farmers, which is important for farming, and the people who live there in these groundwater limited areas in the Willamette Valley already, and then the effect on agriculture. Measure 37 said in its title, if government takes away value from your property, then they must compensate you. Well, that begs the question that there will be some process to determine whether or not you actually did lose value. We had testimony that in one county in Oregon, just in the last couple weeks, they were making approvals within 90 seconds per claim. Folks, that is not a fair valuation method of whether people lost value. Yet that's what the measure called for. It called for demonstrated loss, then compensation, and if no compensation, waiver. 3540 has a real valuation formula in it. Now, it doesn't apply to the first three. We're going to take it for granted that the folks up to three did lose value, and they're going to get their waivers. But beyond that, I want to see everybody have to prove that they lost value. Where did the method come from in 3540? This is a standard method used in regulatory takings cases where the action that took the property occurred in the past. It also happens to be the method that Oregonians in Action advocated for before the Oregon Supreme Court in the legal challenge to Measure 37. We've adopted their argument and placed it into House Bill 3540 as a fair way to judge whether people had loss. Water. We have a dichotomy in our laws on water. So Measure 37, which would normally not exist prior to 2004, it calls for waivers of land use rules. So people go into a process to try and get building permits and development options on their property. Now what can happen, and I worry for the claimants in this case, is you can go and get your Measure 37 waiver, get your building permit, you're entitled to one exempt residential well per property, sink your well, and then sell your property. And after you've sold it to somebody, they begin using their home, and they dry up their well and the neighbor's well beside them. The neighbor calls Oregon Water Resources, says, my well went dry, we're in a groundwater limited area, I could have told you this was going to happen. They come in after the fact because of the way our laws are set up, and they can shut down people's wells. Well, if I bought a house from a Measure 37 claimant, and then my water got shut down, knowing that that was could have been intended, you might see a lot of lawsuits on the claimants. 3540 tries to address that question up front so the claimants themselves won't be jeopardized by legal problems based on water. And certainly the neighbors, if you've probably read and heard in the stories, the neighbors are very concerned about water use. They're going to have some rights, but it's going to be a Lawyer Full Employment Act, which I think is a big mistake. Last, the effect on farming, and there's just kind of two areas that I want to touch on. One, others have touched on, so I won't belabor it, but it's the conflicts. It's when you've got residential homes right next to a farm. They don't like the dust. They yell at you in early in the morning about the effect on noise and why you got your tractor out here in the middle of the morning. Well, it's because it's 101 degrees at 1 p.m. and we have to harvest this stuff while it's still cool in the morning. They don't like spray and pesticides, yet they do want the food. Vehicles on the roads, animals getting into the orchard, the smells. You know, these are things that just do not blend well. Then the other big thing is the shadow effect on the farms that want to keep doing it. So if these maps became true and the red areas filled in with...
Representative Schaffler yields.
Thank you, Representative. If these claims go forward, not on three, like House Bill 3540, which we might be able to deal with, but with hundreds and hundreds of houses per claim in some cases and only one in others, all the rest of the people who want to farm in between the red will be affected. And I just want to explain how. We call it the shadow effect. All of us in agriculture have needs, roads to travel, transportation. A lot of us purchase collectively the means to do this. We have cooperatives. I myself, on our orchard, are a member of the Diamond Fruit Growers. If everybody in the Hood River Valley decides to get out of farming and build condos, some people who voted for Measure 37 may say that's their right. But what then will happen to the rest of us, our co-ops will very likely go under because we do not have cold storage, packing facilities, grading facilities, marketing people. We do that collectively through a co-op. And if half the people leave the co-op rather than their current right, which is to sell to another farmer, then almost everything in between the red will also go away. And I feel very confident in saying that, although very sad in saying that. So that's, to me, the big effect on existing agriculture. Colleagues, to close, when you walk through farmland just before the harvest, when the crops are on the trees and the dew is trickling down it, you feel like this is a home. This is what human beings are supposed to do. For those folks who voted for Measure 37, those who brought it as a crusade for fairness for elderly people to build a few homes, this is it. You've won. Now, I implore you to have mercy on this valley, this state, and our collective future. Look at these maps. For without the fair fix provided in 3540B, Measure 37 is the final harvest for tens of thousands of acres of the finest farmland on earth. Thank you, colleagues.
Representative Patty Smith, for what purpose do you rise?
I rise to ask the for rule suspension to honor Congressman Greg Walden, who is here.
Representative Patty Smith requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended. And the Honorable Greg Walden, former representative of the Oregon... Representative Smith, I understand you have some additional extension of your motion. Please go ahead and make it.
I thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to honor Greg Walden, who is here with us today as a U.S. Congressman. He served in this great House, and he serves in the U.S. House of Representatives, and I want to suspend the rules and give him House and floor privileges today.
Representative Patty Smith requests unanimous consent that rules be suspended. And the Honorable Greg Walden, former representative of the Oregon House and current esteemed member of the U.S. Congress, representing the great state of Oregon, be granted the privileges of the House and floor. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Further discussion, Representative Hunt. To the bill? To the bill.
Colleagues, you'll be disappointed to know I have no questions for the carrier. I have no visual aids. I have no plans to have anyone yield to me. I'd like to take, we've been talking a lot about particular parcels, about particular watersheds, about particular implementation of specific land use policies. I'd like to, for a moment, look at the debate from a larger, higher, different vantage point. I think each of us came to Salem. Each of us ran for office. Each of us were elected in order to have an opportunity to come and make policy that reflects our values, to come and make positive changes to our state and our communities. We all have ideas about what we'd like to accomplish, and often we're very focused on meeting those specific goals, those proactive issues that we came here to do and get through the legislative process. But it's also true that our constituents did not send us here simply to pursue our own agendas. They expect something from us. They expect that we will listen. They expect that we will act. They expect that we will show strong leadership. And they expect that we'll tackle tough issues facing our state, even when those solutions seem very difficult to find. I believe this is one of those moments. Do many of us think that this is a divisive issue that we wish would go away? Absolutely. Do many of us believe that this issue has sidetracked us from being able to as aggressively pursue some of the issues that we would like to pursue? Sure. Would many of us like to duck and cover to avoid what we perceive may be political backlash from this vote that we may happen to take this day on either side of this issue? I'm sure. But the truth is that this is the kind of issue that our constituents sent us here to act on, to bridge divides, to find compromise, to solve problems in a way that is fair and forthright and thoughtful and reasoned. This bill doesn't come too quickly to the floor. This bill has been in formation in the Joint Land Use Committee over weeks and weeks and weeks. And if I think if we talk to our five colleagues, our five House colleagues who served on that committee, they would reflect that time process and that difficult process. But our colleagues who have worked on this issue over the last several weeks, I believe, have represented us well. And now it is our turn. Our vote on House Bill 3540B is not about overturning the will of the voters. It's about a lawmaking body that has listened to the people, acted on their concerns, shown leadership when it really matters, and ultimately will now send this question back to the people to see if we got it right. I think this may well be the legislature in our finest moment. This is our democracy at work. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion, Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
I seriously pondered the possibility of asking my honorable colleague from Lake Oswego a question, but realized that no rational purpose would be served by that attempt, so I will pass. Over the last couple months, I've received many emails, letters, and calls describing the ongoing debate about Measure 37. My reaction has been to read, listen, and attempt to interpret what is being said and to place the opinions into a larger context. The larger context, it seems, is about what the voters of Oregon did or did not mean, or what the voters of Oregon do or do not want. After attempting to assimilate this mountain of information, the answer is clear that this purported fix to Measure 37 is clouded in a haze of propaganda and lost in the wilderness of personal interest. So how do I free myself from the intense gravitational pull of this mess? First, I read the original measure that was overwhelmingly supported by the people, and particularly overwhelmingly supported by the people in my district. Next, I read the version of this bill that we're voting on today, and finally, I ask myself one simple question. Does House Bill 3540B retain the intent of the people's will as they voted in Measure 37? Now, to answer this simple question, you have to know that I received House Bill 3540B on Tuesday evening, and have been trying to make heads or tails of it. I've attempted to follow the legalistic dodgeball of its language, and after a substantial deliberative process, I've answered my simple question, does House Bill 3540B retain the intent of the people's will? The answer is, like the question simple, no. House Bill 3540B does not retain the original intent of the people's will. Is that bad? Maybe, maybe not. But if the voters do get a chance to vote on this referral, there is little chance that truth will prevail, a truth that is untainted by political divides. This state has suffered much in the contest of power and politics, and I believe that it can ill afford another frontal assault. I urge your no vote on House Bill 3540B. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
In 2004, voters overwhelmingly approved Measure 37. This came about after more than 30 years of effort by property owners to persuade the Oregon legislature to address concerns of property owners who felt that the value of their land had been diminished by changing land use regulations. Some legislative fixes were attempted, but ultimately what those folks got from the state legislature was, quite frankly, extreme neglect. And what Oregon got as a result was an extreme solution that was not thought out, not fair, and not what Oregonians thought they were voting for. Almost immediately following the passage of Measure 37, I, along with all of you, began to hear from constituents who voted for the measure but now found that in it vague, deeply flawed, and they pleaded with me as their legislator to do something. Here's just one example of how Measure 37 did not address the very things that voters intended. The proponents of Measure 37 offered a broad concept of compensation for lost property value, illustrated by stories of individual property owners, the most famous being Dorothy English, an elderly woman who wanted to build homes on her property. She and her husband had bought years ago as a kind of savings account for them and their family's future. That Measure 37 did not actually cover or help Mrs. English is just one example of the disconnect between the measure and the voter's intent. There are a number of Dorothy Englishes out there who have made Measure 37 claims. People have a small piece of land and want to be able to build on it. The majority of claimants are elderly. Many of them are widows whose husbands purchased the property decades ago and without placing their name on the deed. Under the current 37 framework, these widows cannot even file a claim. Again, this is just one of the many issues brought out of the legislature by voters who said, "This isn't what I thought I was voting for." Our choices were to end it, mend it, or do nothing. Very few believe that we should leave it as it is. Thus, we have been tasked with trying to make sense of Measure 37 and fix it, consistent with what voters told us they wanted when they voted for it. 3 years later, hundreds upon hundreds of letters and phone calls and hours of testimony, we are still grappling with what to do. While everyone agrees something should be done, this is often where the agreement ends. This bill represents the best attempt by legislators from both chambers to cull together the sometimes competing concerns of farmers, claimants, community members, property owners, and advocacy groups, and find a solution that is fair for everyone. Although among other things, it will help the Dorothy Englishes of the world and it will allow claims to transfer to heirs upon the death of the claimant. Some say we have made no one completely happy, and that, to me, indicates that we may have struck the right balance. The truth of this bill is that we have done our best with a near impossible situation, and in November, the voters, I want to say that one more time, in November, the voters will get to tell us if we got it right. Whatever our individual opinions on this measure itself, I believe the intention of the this legislature is to respect the will of the people. This bill does not does that, and I urge your aye support.
Further discussion, Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the immediate previous speaker from the Oregon Coast, House District 9.
Question of the representative from the Oregon Coast. Does the representative yield?
I do.
He does.
Representative, as you and I discussed, both of our districts passed Measure 37 in about the same percentage back when it did pass. Do you think that Measure or House Bill 3540 is what the voters really intended for when they passed Measure 37?
I believe that this bill has at its heart a question of all the voters. It undoubtedly passed overwhelmingly. We just heard from my statements that I believe that. I think it is a great attempt at giving voters a chance to answer that question for us both.
Additional question?
Additional question, do you yield?
Yes.
He does.
Representative, you mentioned Dorothy English, who was the poster child of Measure 37, and I really appreciate that. And we did pass a bill in this legislative assembly to try and assist her, which unfortunately was vetoed by the governor. Right now, Multnomah County has authorized her to build up to eight, or divide her property up to eight parcels. What would this bill do to her right to her Measure 37 claims?
I would defer that question to representative from Lake Oswego. I don't know exactly that. He would probably have a better answer for you.
Okay. Additional question, if I may.
Additional question to you?
Sure. Yes.
And Representative, you're my kind of, there's a couple of you here that are my go-to people with questions relative to school issues. This morning, in speaking with my largest school board district chair, who happens to be a very prominent local attorney, he offered to provide me some hard, irrefutable evidence of class flight away from the Ontario area, which class flight directly is related to the high cost of development and the lack of available land for development in Ontario. Inasmuch as you and I both represent rural districts, have you noticed any movement away from your cities and school district, your school district, as a result of what would appear to be high cost of land?
Have not noticed for high cost of land being the issue. We have a high cost of land because of a lot of people coming into our district. Sadly, they don't bring children with them, so we haven't had a growing group of students. In fact, we've been in declining enrollment, but I haven't heard anything from anyone in my community that would indicate that that is due to Measure 37.
An additional question, if I may.
Additional question to you?
Absolutely.
He does.
In looking down at the number of claims, we've got claims with little red dots and big white splotches all over them here. Representative, you and I, in looking at House District 60 and House District 9, both have similar numbers of claims filed. What are we going to do and what are we going to tell those of our constituents who have spent $500 locally and $500 at the state, as well as tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees thus far under Measure 37, when we send them House Bill 3540B?
I'm going to tell my constituents that a lot of the people who they're building next to and others are fighting over different issues with respect to 37, and this is an opportunity for people to make a decision as to whether we got it right.
To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I had two claims, Measure 37 claims, that were pending, getting ready to be filed, and I didn't file them. I felt like that we would be able to resolve Measure 37 in the legislative process, or certainly through a period of time through this process, somehow that we would get something done that would actually resolve the issues for property which we have adjacent to the city of Ontario. and our farming operations. But let me just call to your attention a couple of situations. The Dorothy English, again, the poster child of Measure 37, is a concern that I had. But she'll lose all of her rights under Measure 37, is my understanding now, and goes back to goes back to Senate Bill 100, basically, and away we go, and Dorothy English would lose her rights. And that's of great concern to me. Another of great concern is my neighbors who surrounding our farm adjacent to the city of Ontario did file the claims, did go to their legal representatives and spent virtually thousands of dollars. One of those was my close personal friend, Tommaso Nishihara. Tom was a great real estate developer years ago, coming in with the camps in Minidoka during the war, and Tom actually filed has a farm that surrounds us on a couple of sides, and actually had been developing it, and out of 120 acres had sold off 13 sites, 13 2-acre sites on that farm. And folks, I'm here to tell you that there's no water issues of concern. That the folks just drill their well, and the domestic amount of domestic water that we're talking about using, because it's not legal to bring up more than a certain amount of water for your domestic use anyway. But in that process, here is Tom's farm adjacent to our farm, with homes on the 13 different lot sites out of the 60 or 70 lots that he had developed and had approved in that process, that all went away under Senate Bill 100. And Tom went through the process of filing all of this, and I'll never see him again. He's passed away in this process while we've been in session. And I'm not sure what's going to happen with Tom's farm now. But I know he can't farm it. I know his tenants couldn't farm it because of the homes that were scattered around it. And I don't think that Mrs. Nishihara will probably continue in this process. So it leaves that claim as an unknown. I'm not sure what I'm going to tell my constituents who put out this kind of money, thinking that their claims would be resolved 180 days later after the December filing date.
Further discussion, Representative Girard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What is needed to be fixed?
To the bill?
To the bill. Thank you. What is needed to be fixed in Oregon is not a ballot measure that passed in 51 of the 60 House districts represented in this chamber. All 29 Republican House districts passed Measure 37, including Multnomah, Washington, and Clackamas counties. And, of course, that old familiar number that we've heard so much, 61% of the people of Oregon who voted for this bill. What needs fixing is not Measure 37. What needs fixing are our state land use laws. Measure 37 needed clarification and streamlining. House Bill 3540 really doesn't do either effectively. It kills Measure 37 and gives it a slow and very painful death. Oddly enough, whether you were pro or con on Measure 37, both sides of this issue are advocating for property rights. That's what it's all about, is property rights. Some want property rights restored, and others want them expanded for protection. This bill, again, does little to address the real problems associated with the land use laws in Oregon. This bill, unfortunately, is a partisan bill, written, produced, and directed by LCDC for the benefit of LCDC and not the people of Oregon. This bill does not simplify Measure 37. It does not clarify it. It adds another 20 pages of more complexities. John Chandler, who represents the building industry, spoke to the Fairness Committee in one of its first meetings, and he said to that committee, "The worst thing you can do is to try and assume what the voters had on their minds when they voted on Measure 37. Yet many of you in this room are about to do just that. This bill will help some Oregonians, but it will hurt many more. We have turned this important issue into a political football. The bill sailed through the Fairness Committee and the two Ways and Means Committees in a period of 4 days, all on a straight partisan vote. One co-chair even slammed the gavel down, denying members the opportunity to speak on 37. I am not proud of the process that has taken place in regards to 37. This is surely not a nonpartisan bill. Most of you are not even aware of when or what date this bill sets for the election. Look at the bill. It's not there. It doesn't tell you when the election is even going to take place. And yet again, we're ready to vote it out. When it comes to land use and Measure 37, the people of Oregon deserve better than House Bill 3540B. They deserve much better than what this bill represents. The people have spoken twice on this issue, and now we're going to ask them to speak again for a third time. They voted yes on Measure 7. They voted yes on Measure 37. And if history gives this body any perspective, they will vote the same message once again on this referral. And they will look at this body and say, why didn't you listen to us? House Bill 3540 is a clumsy attempt to fool the people of Oregon. Abraham Lincoln said you can fool some of the people all of the time. All of the people some
Just
of the time.
Just a moment, Representative. Representative Morgan yields.
But you can't fool all the people all the time. We're not done with this Measure 37 here today. And most importantly, we have still a lot of hard work to do in looking at the land use laws in Oregon which caused Measure 7 and Measure 37. Please think seriously about whether you are doing the right thing when you vote for this measure. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Patty Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
Thank you. I know you've had a lot of questions, and it's late in the day, and I don't want to...
What feels like it's late in the day, Representative.
Yeah, I know. It feels like it's late in the year.
Although we're not even quite at noon.
You talked in... when one of the questions was about the farm... farm description, the higher value of farmland, you talked about... limited rights of the property owner. Can you define that for me, what the limited rights of the property owner might be? You talked about when the neighbors have rights and the property owner has limited rights. What did you mean?
I think what I was trying to communicate is that what this bill does is it
puts a limitation on the number of home sites that a claimant can build in order to strike a balance between the property rights of the claimant and the property rights of other property owners who are affected by the amount of that use. It's because there is an impact if a large subdivision were to go in on our natural resource lands on the farming and forestry operations that are around it.
Thank you. I think I'll just speak to the bill.
To the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I prepared a speech, and I want to read an email I got early this morning. It was from a Hood River grower, pear orchardist. She wrote, "Patty, I want to thank you for your tireless work on behalf of private property rights and for our natural resource industries in this state. Having now found time to read House Bill 3540, I'm absolutely dismayed, angered, and many other descriptors, which I shall not put in writing, of the Democrats' insistence of ramming this Measure 37 fix through the process. The various committee chairs have given no time, no discussion, and no thought to what it is that they have put forth and call this a fix is beyond absurd. What is it about land use laws in this state that they do not understand? First, is Measure 37 is totally correct and flawless? Of course not. Measure 37 is a cry from folks just like me who want some measure of reason in our land use system. House Bill 3540 does not provide this. It does not address the reason that Measure 37 passed in the first place, namely local control, flexibility, and reason. Do folks like me want to pave over paradise? No, we want local control, flexibility, and reason. I, like you, are tired of fighting. They do not listen. However, it is my livelihood and future that they are destroying. Until the land use system in this state is fixed, the fight will continue. Why are they making it so very difficult? I'm absolutely dismayed at the Oregon Farm Bureau on this bill. They certainly do not represent my interests nor the interests of many of my farming friends in Hood River. Patty, thanks again for your support. I certainly wish that others could see the big picture and realize that this policy does nothing to fix anything. It only perpetuates the fight. As I prepared this speech, and this is me speaking, I'm reminded of why we are even here. 34 years of land use regulation is why. We have unsuccessfully answered the concerns and calls for change to this system that only Oregon has, and the legislature has failed again to perform. I know this is a difficult task to tackle, and I really appreciate the opportunity again to do so. Well, maybe I do. But feel that the voters of this state have repeatedly sent us a message that this system doesn't work. It was created to save farm and forest land. We've not done that. We need to not only save farmland, we need to save our farmers. I know one thing that Measure 37 voters were saying. They want fairness. We have spent considerable time and effort trying to ascertain voter intent. My God, how many times have we talked about this? If we have set a public policy, which we did 34 years ago, then we should be prepared to implement that in a fair way. I don't think that is too much to ask, and ask the voters again is an easy way out, or a costly way out. We could have maybe done a compensation fund for what the cost of this special election is going to be. This is the wrong way to approach what needs fixing in our land use system. Measure 37 was only a way to tell us that this system is broken. We should and must answer this in the legislature. We are policymakers. We should be able to have the will to make those decisions. The voters have sent us a clear message. This system doesn't work. I spent many, many hours on this issue and have shown my respect for this process. But this is not the framework that we have worked on. Ask yourself why this bill has changed so much since April, when it was first presented to you. This is not the version that was presented to you. This is not a solution. Even if it passes the voters, we'll be right back here trying to solve this problem. Until we seriously address what is wrong with our land use system, we have failed. It takes courage to create a legacy. This is not an answer. I'm the granddaughter of two pioneers of this great state. I ask this legislature to create a state where we can all enjoy living. This bill doesn't even come close to solving this problem. Please join me in defeating this referral and send it back to committee, not the voters. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
Good representative from Lake Oswego. The definition of land use regulation on page 3, lines 11 through 23, appears to exclude any property zoned for commercial or industrial use of any property owner who wishes to use their property for commercial or industrial uses. What is the policy for telling Oregon businesses that Measure 37 claims are no longer valid? How many claims for non-residential uses have been made under Measure 37?
Representative, the vast majority of claims under Measure 37 have been for residential uses. That has been the main focus of claim activity. As I mentioned earlier, one of the significant areas of non-residential claims have been for billboards. There have been relatively few claims made for commercial and industrial development because our land use laws are working pretty well as applied to those areas, and that businesses, we have heard in our committee, find that the certainty that's created by our land use laws is helpful to them being able to operate, because while it may control or restrict what they can do with their property, it also regulates what their neighboring properties can do, and that gives them certainty that they can continue to do business the way they do.
Thank you. Follow up, Mr. Speaker.
Follow up, do you yield?
I do.
He does.
Thank you, good representative. It also appears that under Section 12 of the bill that all Oregon property owners in commercial industrial zones will not be protected by Measure 37 from future land use regulations and take away the use of their land. Does Measure 37 distinguish between Oregonians who own residential property and Oregonians who own commercial industrial property?
Representative, this bill, House Bill 3540, it clarifies Measure 37 and focuses it on residential uses, which were the focus in the campaign to pass the measure, and make sure that the opportunity for particularly for elderly Oregonians who bought farm and forest land decades ago, that they will get some development opportunity that is transferable so they can actually make use of that right. It does not try to preserve rights that are commercial industrial users, although it does create protection for agriculture and for forestry, because those are key pillars of Oregon's natural resource economy.
Clarification, Mr. Speaker.
Clarification. Does Carrier yield?
I do.
Carrier does.
So, good representative from Lake Oswego. There are claims for commercial under 37, and my constituents are not in this map. So are you saying that those people that have filed the few claims we have for commercial will not be protected under this new bill?
Representative, you're correct. There are some claims for commercial and industrial use. For example, there's one in Clatsop County, a claim for $2 million from a claimant who wants to build a seawall on Cannon Beach, do a fill area behind the seawall, and build a hotel on it. And it's true that project would not be able to go forward if this bill is passed and then approved by the people. But that owner could then do a residential development on that property under Measure 37.
Thank you. I have two short ones, Mr. Speaker. But further questions, the carrier.
Additional question? Do you yield?
I do.
He does.
Good representative. These come to me from a constituent who happens to be a land use attorney, and he's concerned about the grandfathering of those people who've already spent time and money to submit their claims, and it's his understanding that this 3450 would not protect those people who have already submitted their claims, spent time and effort. He's also concerned that this could lead to further litigation. Could you comment on that, please?
Well, Representative, if it's litigation we're trying to avoid, the original Measure 37 was not the right way to go, because we've seen nearly 200 lawsuits filed under it. What this bill does is create greater pathways to certainty, which will reduce the amount of litigation. For those owners who want to proceed under the original language of Measure 37, they can establish that they have vested rights under the standard common law principles that determine whether a person has vested rights and proceed under the original language of the measure. But what they will not get is the transferability, the protection for widows, the clarifications to the language which create a measure that is more effective for helping our property owners.
Thank you. One more question, Mr. Speaker.
Additional question, do you?
I do.
And thank you for that response. And I'll provide you a copy of this letter from my. It went to all the Ways and Means members, but it did not go to you. My last question from this constituent is that Measure 37 bill had a provision that transfers all donor claimants to a family-owned corporation or family-owned LLC for estate planning purposes, and it would be treated similarly as those who put property into a revocable living trust. This House Bill 3450 does not do that, does it?
Representative, a revocable living trust is treated as the same owner because that is a family sort of property ownership kind of mechanism. A corporation or a limited liability company is a separate legal entity, the owners of which might change over time. So this bill does not look through those entities, but it does a living trust, and it takes care of widows, many of whom were left off the deed when their husband acquired the property and who have lost out under the language of the existing Measure 37.
Thank you. Last question, Mr. Speaker.
Last question is Gary Yield.
I do.
He does.
Thank you for all your responses, good representative. I think we all have some issues here, but we're concerned about our district. My district's a lot different than what we're looking at here. But you made a statement that we had a question previously. Could you guarantee this body that this will be referred to the voters?
Representative, it is not in my power to make any guarantee about what happens in this building in a process. I have a representative with one vote. I'm going to cast that vote today for House Bill 3540 to refer this to the people. What happens on the other side of the building is in the hands of our 30 senators and the governor in the middle of the building.
Do we have an additional question? Further discussion. Representative Thatcher.
Question to the representative from West Eugene.
Question to the representative from West Eugene. Does the representative yield?
Sure.
He does.
Thank you. Good representative. I notice we have similar districts as I look at this green sheet that was on all our desks as far as the number of or percentage of voters who voted yes on Measure 37. We are each at 64%. And I'm wondering what you're going to tell the people in your district who have spent thousands of dollars on their Measure 37 claims if House Bill 3540B should pass.
Well, there's no question that voters in my district approved Measure 37. There's also no question that I've received a lot of response from voters in my district asking for a reconsideration of Measure 37. So what I say is that we should send it back to the voters and let them make that decision.
Follow-up.
Follow-up question, do you? No.
Question to the carrier.
Question to the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
Thank you. On the last page of this bill, in the very last section, very last sentence, it refers to House Bill 2083, in order for the voters to vote, to refer it to the voters and vote on it in a special election, which is not dated yet. But I'm just wondering if you know where House Bill 2083 is and why it wouldn't be here being considered alongside House Bill 3540B.
House Bill 2083 is in the Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules, and our expectation is that it will be amended to address the timing of this election, and we'll be moving forward through the process.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none. Oh. President Thatcher, you're back in the queue. Did you intend to get back in? No. Seeing none. Representative McPherson, do you wish to close?
I do, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. I wanted to respond to a few of the points that have been made here in the debate, and it's been a good debate, I think, airing of the issues. I think that's a very positive part of our process. There have been some comments about the process by which the bill came forward. Just wanted to remind this chamber how hard the Fairness Committee worked, that we had many meetings over several months. We had 15 committee meetings. We had 14 meetings of the work group that developed this framework. The text of an announcement of that framework was made on March the 29th, so over a month ago. The rough outline of the solution you have in front of you for this bill was aired to the public and to the it was presented then to the Fairness Committee. The text of a set of amendments that became what is now House Bill 3540 were presented to the Fairness Committee on April the 19th. There were subsequent amendments made to that in response to comments, some of them very good comments that were made by members of the Fairness Committee. So we had a thoroughly vetted process to bring this bill forward. There was a comment that this is removing the counties from the process. What the current process under Measure 37 does is it requires an application to be made, a claim to be submitted to both the county, if it's outside a city boundary, and to the state. So it's two claims have to be filed. So what this measure does is it shortens or simplifies that process. It's one-stop shopping, so the claimant can go to the state directly. But if it is only a county rule that's involved, then the state sends it over to the county. So the counties are still involved. It just avoids having to make two applications. There was a reference to highest and best use, and the reference to the provision that appraisal needs to reflect the highest and best use. This is standard appraisal methodology. It simply means that when you're valuing property, you value it at what it's best used as. It's a standard in the law of eminent domain, and we're simply being extended here to processing of Measure 37 claims. There was also a reference to judicial review and a suggestion that somehow all the litigation was going to wind up in Marion County, and with overtones of what sounded like sort of a conspiracy theory. In fact, there's nothing about this bill that changes the law of where lawsuits are brought. They can be brought in Marion County under certain circumstances. They can be brought in other circuit courts under certain circumstances. Nothing about this bill is changing that situation. there was a comment made by my good colleague from the beautiful Columbia River Gorge, with whom we worked very hard on developing the framework for this, in which she said that with the amount that we could are going to spend on a special election, we could have had a compensation fund. I have to remind you, colleagues, the total value of all the claims that have been submitted under Measure 37 is around $15 billion. So we're not going to run an election for any even minor fraction of that amount. 34 years ago, Governor Tom McCall stood in this chamber to address the 1973 legislature. In one of his most memorable speeches, he urged them to enact a system of statewide land use planning. Oregon should not be a haven for the buffalo hunter mentality, he said. The interests of Oregon for today and in the future must be protected from the grasping wastrels of the land. The passage of Measure 37 has energized a new generation of buffalo hunters, developers looking for quick profits. I have here a printout
from a website called International Real Estate Marketplace. Recently, this website described the following opportunity. The most spectacular real estate investment in the world is currently in Oregon, it said, and went on to describe Measure 37, concluding, since about 70% of the land in Oregon is zoned for agricultural or forestry, and most of the farms and timber property have been owned by the same parties prior to land use restrictions, the potential is overwhelming. And later they say, this is a very fast turnaround on investment. The question before us today is this. Will we give Oregon voters the right to decide what will happen to our state's landscape? Or will we side with these grasping wastrels referred to by Tom McCall, the developers manipulating a generation of our elderly citizens in order to make a fast buck and to spoil our landscape in the process? I say, let's enable the people to fix Measure 37. Let's scale down the potential development on our farm and forest lands to a few home sites for each property owner and make it possible with transferability for that development to occur in an orderly manner. Let's help the widow whose rights under Measure 37 cuts off on the death of her husband. Let's not help big corporations. Let's protect our productive farms and forests and our depleted groundwater from huge subdivisions. The time has come. We must do this for Oregon. Mr. Speaker, I request a call of the House.
Representative McPherson requests a call of the House. He is joining that request by Representative Gilman, Representative Rosenbaum, Representative Riley, Representative Clem, and Representative Shields. Dorky rules bar the door. Sergeant Arms can, and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart. Berger. Beyer. Bonamici. Boone. Boquist. Bruin. Buckley. Burley. Burley Butler. Cameron. Cannon. Clem. Cowan. Dallum. Dingfelder. Chris Edwards. David Edwards. Esquivel. Flores. Galizio. Garrard. Gelzer. Gilliam. Gilman. Gerard. Greenlick. Hannah. Holvey. Hunt. Jensen. Comp. Kotek. Krieger. Crummel. Lim. McPherson. Maurer. Minnis. Morgan. Nathanson. Nelson. Nolan. Olson. Reed. Richardson. Riley. Roblin. Rosenbaum. Schaffler. Scott. Shields. Greg Smith. Patty Smith. Thatcher. Tomei. Wisnett. Witt. Mr. Speaker. Not answering. Burley. Excuse. Not subject to the call. Five. Boquist. Dallum. Lim. Minnis. Scott.
All members are present. Representative Patty Smith, for what purpose do you rise?
I would like to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please state your potential conflict for the record.
A member of my household, his father has filed a Measure 37 claim.
Stilly recorded for the record. Representative Wisnett, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I kindly request an oral roll call.
Representative Wisnett kindly requests an oral roll call. He is joining that request by Representative Hannah, Representative Maurer, Representative Esquivel, Representative Flores, and Representative Barker. Those who are in favor of House Bill 3540B, Representative Thatcher, for what purpose do you rise?
To declare a potential conflict.
Please go ahead and state your potential conflict for
the
record.
Just to be on the safe side, I could possibly file a Measure 37 claim.
It is duly noted for the record. Anyone else? Okay. Representative Clem, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also would declare a potential conflict of interest with shareholders in a family farm that could, but has no intent to, file Measure 37.
Your potential conflict is noted for the record. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will, when called upon, vote aye. Those opposed, when called upon, will vote no. And the clerk will call the roll in reverse order.
Witt.
Aye.
Wisnett.
No.
Tomei.
Aye.
Thatcher.
No.
Patty Smith. Greg Smith. Shields.
Aye.
Scott. Schaffler.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Roblin.
Aye.
Riley.
Aye.
Richardson.
No.
Reed.
Aye.
Olson.
No.
Nolan.
Aye.
Nelson. Nathanson, Morgan, Minnis, Maurer, McPherson, Lim, Crummel, Krieger, Kotek, Comp, Jensen, Jensen, Hunt, Holvey, Hannah, Greenlick, Sherrod, Gilman, Gilliam, Gelzer, Garrard, Galizio, Flores, Esquivel, David Edwards, Chris Edwards, Dingfelder, Dallum, Cowan, Clem, Cannon, Cameron, Butler, Burley, Buckley, Bruin, Boquist, Boone, Bonamici, Byer, Berger, Barnhart, Barker. Mr. Speaker, excuse or voting no. Berger, Bruin, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Esquivel, Flores, Garrard, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Hannah, Jensen, Krieger, Crummel, Maurer, Morgan, Nelson, Olson, Richardson, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Wisnett, excused, Boquist, Dallum, Lim, Minnis, Scott.
The vote is 31 yay, 24 nay, and 5 excused. House Bill 3540B, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
House Bill 3546, relating to an extension of time for review of demands for compensation by reason of land use regulations and declaring an emergency.
This question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 3546B. Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 3546B will extend the period of processing claims from 180-day deadline imposed by Measure 37 to 540 days, adding an additional 360 days, to research and respond to all Measure 37 claims. When Measure 37 passed in 2004, it stated that claims submitted by December 4, 2006 deadline must be processed within 180 days. I'm sure that at that time many people thought that 6 months sounded like a long time, but no one could have anticipated what followed. 6,710 Measure 37 claims have been filed seeking compensation estimated at more than $17 billion, including claims filed exclusively with local governments. The total of Measure 37 claims filed jumps to over 7,000. 3,529 of these claims were received between November 10th and December 4th, 2006. In just a few short weeks, state and county staff were overwhelmed by an insurmountable mountain of claims to process. 3,614 of the total claims filed are in various stages of process. What is startling is that more than 3,600 claims have yet to even begin to be processed. At this point, 10 Oregon counties will miss the deadline to process those claims. More than 90% will remain unprocessed by the 180-day deadline. Why, you might ask? Processing these claims requires due diligence and time-consuming research, taking into account property and ownership records, analyzing land use regulations, assessing the impact of those regulations on individual properties, determining findings of fact, and issuing of final orders to the claimants, and considering the impact on neighboring properties and on property owners. Mr. Speaker, I request permission to use a visual aid.
Representative Roblin asks for unanimous consent to use a visual aid. Is there any objection? Seeing none, please go ahead.
I'm holding in my hands the paperwork for just two claims that each requested only two new properties. You can tell by just looking at this stack of paperwork the tremendous amount of time and effort required to process these claims. The smallest of Measure 37 claims, like the ones that I hold in my hand, take an average of 20 hours to process. Mega claims by out-of-state developers or large subdivisions can take hundreds of hours. The new 360-day deadline proposed by this bill will require state and local government to process, especially the state, to process a minimum of 300 claims per month. Until very recently, Measure 37 claims at the state level had been processed at a rate of 150 claims per month. Counties, depending on their staffing levels, have processed far fewer. This new deadline will still require departments to make and processing of those claims a top priority and to allocate additional staff time to the process without unnecessarily dragging out the claim process and causing unreasonable delay of claimants. This extension benefits not just the state and counties, but also the claimants. Currently, Measure 37 extinguishes the rights of claimants who die before their claims are filed or completed. By passing this extension, we can guarantee that their heirs of any claimant who die during the extension period shall have the right to continue to pursue the claim of their family member. Colleagues, this extension is a necessary step to prevent our state and local governments from incurring billions of dollars of financial liability. I urge your aye vote and will be happy to answer your questions.
Further discussion? Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier?
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
Thank you, sir. You all know that I have the utmost respect for hardworking folks in the counties. Knowing their work ethic, don't you think that most of them could meet the 180-day deadline of Measure 37? And then, for that matter, why is the state reviewing the claims at all? Isn't it all just the same effort?
Thank you for that question. There are approximately 10 counties. It's like 9.5 that have indicated they have substantial Measure 37 claims in the state that will not be able to meet the deadline because so many claimants waited until the last minute for their filing of claims last fall. The situation is even more dramatic with the state, with over 2,000 claims filed in 1 week, November 2006 through, and over 3,500 were filed in the 5 weeks between November 1 and December 5th. Measure 37 did not say how to handle the situations where both state and local land use regulations prevented property owners from carrying out the use. The courts have held that claims must be filed with both state and the county where the property is located, and that both the state and the county must act on the claim. The state land use regulations and the county land use regulations are often different and were adopted at different times. As a result, under Measure 37, a claimant may be entitled to a waiver from one level of government but not the other. House Bill 3546 gives the state and counties the time needed for them to do due diligence and make sure the claimants are entitled to the waivers before they're granted. It also gives time to consider comments from neighbors.
Additional question?
Additional question of the carrier. Do you yield?
Yes.
He does.
Thank you. Why a one-year extension? If we give government a whole year, won't they just sit on the claims?
Thank you for that question. They aren't going to just sit on the claims. DLCD has stated that they will continue working through the remaining claims. A short period to retool may be needed because of extraordinary measures that were taken to get as many claims completed as possible during the past month. They've only been, only 1 month have they exceeded the 300, so this is going to be a lot of work for them.
Thank you. One final question.
Another question. Do you yield?
Yes, I do.
He does.
Thanks so much. What happens if a claimant passes away before the state or local government have a chance to act on that claim?
Again, thank you for that question, and I will reaffirm that answer. Right now, because of the way Measure 37 was drafted, the claimant's rights are personal, and they are lost if the claimant passes away during the review of a claim. House Bill 3546 fixes that problem by having the heirs of the claimant step into the shoes of the claimant. If she or he passes away before action is taken on the claim, the purpose of this is to ensure that claimants are not harmed by any delay in the processing of claims.
Further discussion, Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I rise in opposition to House Bill 3546. This bill simply gives the government 360 additional days to process these claims. Colleagues, Oregonians spoke on this issue, and they've simply waited long enough. House Bill 3546 further delays the restoration of property rights in Oregon. It's simply another example of an obstacle to older Oregonians who purchased their property prior to 1973. And we heard from the good representative from southeastern Oregon what can happen when you make them wait too long. Many of these senior citizens bought property to invest, to retire with, or to pass on to their children and grandchildren. These folks simply don't have too long to wait. House Bill 3546 is a prime example of how this body is accommodating government at the expense of the people. And that's simply wrong. Colleagues, it is time for government to stop delaying on this issue. It is time to implement Measure 37 as it was passed by the people. That's why I'd urge you to vote no on this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Patty Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does carry yield?
I do.
He does.
Thank you for honoring my question. I'm wondering if we heard in committee from the counties as to how long they needed.
We heard different answers. Most of them needed an extension. Much of the discussion was around 180 days for the counties, I believe.
Correct. We heard from, well. Further question of the carrier.
Additional question of the carrier. Is carry you?
I do.
He does.
I'm wondering how this House bill, the extension, because it will pass, how will it be affected by the referral when that is passed, if it's passed by the voters?
We will still have claims to continue to process. So I expect that if the bill were to pass, we would still have this extension going forward to finish completion of that. And I have not looked at it carefully. We may ask the representative from Lake Oswego if he has any additional to that.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Roland, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, unless we act today, our state and counties will soon face a crisis of catastrophic proportions. I know this sounds dramatic, but the scope of what we, as Oregonians, are soon to face is difficult to comprehend. On or about May 14th, state and local governments will begin failing to meet the 180-day deadline imposed by Measure 37. In the week of May 14th, we will miss the deadline for approximately 250 claims seeking $516 million in compensation. In the following week, we will miss another 370 deadlines totaling $880 million. In the week of May 28th, that number will go over 2,000 claims totaling $4.8 billion. Mr. Speaker, I request to use a visual aid.
Representative Roland asks for unanimous consent to use the visual aid. Is there an objection? Hearing none, please go ahead.
To illustrate the seriousness of this point, I'm holding in my hand a collection notice sent to the state for $1 million from a claimant from California demanding payment for their claim. It's actually $999,999.99, demanding payment for their claim. This would be absurd and laughable if our situation weren't so dire. In total, state and local governments, unless we act today, will likely be liable for more than $10 billion in payouts to Measure 37 claimants. For counties already facing a financial crisis due to the disappearance of county timber payments, this is another devastating blow. And at a time when we are struggling to find health care for all Oregon children, put more state troopers on the road, reinvest in higher education and community colleges, and adequately fund K-12 education, I shouldn't have to tell anyone what a massive hit $10 billion in Measure 37 payouts would deal to our state at every level. We cannot let this happen on our watch. There are moments in this building when we take votes that are easy, and there are moments when we are called upon to show tremendous leadership in the face of enormous difficult issues. This is one of the moments where true leadership is required. I urge your aye vote on this bill. Thank you.
Representative Barnard asks for call of the House. He is joined by Representative Cowan, Representative Rosenbaum, Representative Cannon, Representative Kotek, and Representative Gelser. Doorkeepers will bar the door. Sergeant-at-Arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker, Barnhart, Berger, Beyer, Bonamici, Boone, Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Garrard, Gelzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Conk, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Patty Smith Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker. Excuse, not subject to call. 5, Boquist, Dallum, Lim, Minnis, Scott.
Everyone is present. Representative Patty Smith, for what purpose do you rise?
I would like to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please go ahead and state the potential conflict for the record.
Same one as before. A member of my household and his father's filed a Measure 37 claim.
It is noted for the record. Representative Thatcher, I can imagine for what purpose you rise. Please go ahead and state your potential conflict for the record.
Same one as before. I could possibly file a Measure 37 claim as stated in some recent papers.
It is duly noted for the record. Okay, all those of the opinion that the bill should pass, vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes no. House Bill 3546B, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Wisnett, for what purpose do you rise?
I'm sorry. Announcements.
Representative Wisnett asks unanimous consent. Oh.
Sorry.
President Wisner, we'll be in announcements in a moment. Sorry. If you just, we'll hold. Okay, thank
Sorry.
You.
Sorry.
Propositions and motions. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 3556 relating to food safety and declaring an emergency.
Bill read first time. It's passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2114 relating to stewardship agreements and appropriate amending. House Bill 2131 relating to address confidentiality program and declaring emergency. House Bill 2190 relating to custody of children. House Bill 2196 relating to Jackson Bulletin events regulated by the Oregon State Boxing and Wrestling Commission. House Bill 2241 relating to corrections and declaring emergency. House Bill 2310 relating to distributional interest and limited liability companies. House Bill 2325 relating to Department of Corrections. House Bill 2334 relating to firearms. House Bill 2473 relating to electrical trade licenses. House Bill 2475 relating to electrical installations. House Bill 2620 relating to inclusion of solar energy technology in public buildings. House Bill 2637 relating to cyberbullying and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2667 relating to judicial review. House Bill 2713 relating to utility easements. House Bill 2822 relating to contested case proceedings. House Bill 2833 relating to public safety memorial fund. House Bill 2864 relating to final disposition of human remains. House Bill 2876 relating to energy projects. House Bill 2895 relating to notification to law enforcement officials by health care providers. House Bill 2971 relating to methods of taking wildlife. House Bill 3025 relating to land use planning and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3026 relating to metals. House Bill 3086 relating to motor vehicle liability insurance. House Bill 3092 relating to anatomical gifts. House Bill 3178 relating to public charter schools. House Bill 3313 relating to local government's ability to recoup costs incurred for illegal drug manufacturing, sale, rehabilitation, and declare an emergency. House Bill 3436 relating to population forecasting for land use planning. House Bill 3437 relating to exotic animals and declare an emergency. House Bill 3485 relating to affordable housing and covenants.
Bills read a second time or passed the third reading? Consent calendar. Third reading of House bills. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. Bills, reports, and other business line on the table. First reading, Senate bills.
Senate Bill 5521 relating to financial administration of the Bureau of Labor and Industries appropriate money, declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 101 relating to all-terrain vehicles. Senate Bill 117 relating to telephone solicitations and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 178 relating to unitary business definition for tax purposes and prescribing an effective date. Senate Bill 180 relating to treatment of financial organization tax law and prescribing an effective date. Senate Bill 253 relating to approval of workers' compensation claim disposition agreements. Senate Bill 273 relating to court. Senate Bill 288 relating to parole hearings in murder cases and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 375 relating to minimum energy efficiency standards. Senate Bill 404 relating to workers' compensation claims. Senate Bill 544 relating to Department of State Lands and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 591 relating to charges for copying patient health records. Senate Bill 704 relating to Mercury and General Watershed. Senate Bill 755 relating to Education Service Districts and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 777 relating to Rehabilitation Property Tax Abatements. Senate Bill 800 relating to Education Districts. Senate Bill 806 relating to Local Budget Law. Senate Bill 814 relating to Taxation. Senate Bill 815 relating to Taxation. Senate Bill 859 relating to Charitable Checkoffs and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 883 relating to Penalties for a Violation of Pesticide Laws and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 967 relating to statutory created legislative committees. Senate Bill 1041 related to health services is declaring an emergency.
Bills read first time or passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading, Senate bills.
Senate Bill 70 relating to audits by Secretary of State and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 72 relating to Division of Audits and Investigation. Senate Bill 166 relating to client trust accounts maintained by real estate licenses. Senate Bill 168 relating to escrow agent licenses. Senate Bill 310 relating to sale of county land.
Bills read a second time or passed the third reading. Third reading of Senate bills. Other business of the House, other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements, Representative Wisnett.
Mr. Speaker, Republicans, after the completion of floor session, report to, immediately to 350 for lunch, room 350. Thank you.
Further announcements, Representative Barnard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee on Revenue will meet promptly at 1:15.
Representative Olley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your House Committee on Consumer Protection will meet at 1:20.
Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I just wanted to call to your attention that today and tomorrow are the final days of the Women in Trades Career Fair that is taking place at the NECA IBEW Electrical Training Center on Airport Way, particularly tomorrow for constituents of yours, women who are interested in exploring the construction trades. It would be a great day for them to get a taste of that. They can go to tradeswomen.net for more information. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hannah.
Thank you, colleagues. For those of you who enjoy motorcycles as I do, tomorrow will be a rally here at the Capitol. You will see motorcycles of all types, sizes, kinds, sounds. It would be a pleasure to have you join us.
Representative Dingfelder.
Just a reminder that the House Energy and Environment Committee will be meeting at 1 o'clock, so please grab your lunch promptly, and we'll see you at 1 for the hearing on the bottle bill.
Remonstrances. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, in March of 2006, the Supreme Court upheld the legality of Measure 37 in what is referred to as the McPherson case. What has been done today is counter to that decision. This is what I hear from my constituents. In their request that I vote no on the two bills that were heard today, they explain, and this is over 60% of my constituents, or probably the million who voted for Measure 37, they think that what we've done today, Measure 3540, is a poison dart aimed for the heart of Measure 37. And their question to us is, how many times will it take? How many times will it take for our Oregonians to absolutely have their civil right of property rights? I'm saddened by what occurred today.
Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Before I begin my remonstrance, I wanted to clarify for anybody coming to the event that my colleague from District 7 mentioned it's motorcycles is what he was talking about. And I also want to say that today I did not enjoy what happened. That'll come to no surprise. But I'm trying to find the good out of the bad, and I'm particularly happy with the way that we treated each other during what was a pretty divisive debate. And furthermore, I want to reflect for a moment on the possibilities that we still have to do good things and to get along. When folks in my district ask me what committees that I serve on, I always get a pretty big laugh when I tell them that I'm on Human Services / Women's Wellness. I further point out that the chair is a Democrat woman, and that there are 4 Democrat women and 3 Republican men, and I ask my constituents to just think about that dynamic for a minute. And we have joked that it's Women's Wellness, WW. We have joked it's sometimes the WWF. That's not that funny. But all kidding aside, and I know that's hard for you to imagine, my colleagues on that committee are very hardworking folks. The representative from Albany, who's the vice chair, the representative from Josephine County, who has been intimately involved in health issues for some time, and when you get past his red pants, he is a very valuable member of that committee. The representative from North Portland, I don't know if you could find a more knowledgeable individual when it comes to the details of many of the health-related issues that we discuss, and I respect her very much. The representative from the Central Coast, who brings a wealth of experience from her days as a county chair. The representative from Corvallis and Philamath is probably the most passionate about some very important issues. And most of all, the representative and chair from Milwaukee. She is a very gracious person, and she has had one rule: no surprises. And we have abided by that rule, and I have disagreed many, many times, and I have agreed many, many times, and I have always been respected, I have always been heard, and I want to say that it means very much to me, even when I know I'm going to only be able to slow the train. At least I'm given the opportunity to do that. And other times I'm on board, and I think we've brought some pretty good legislation out of our committee onto this floor. So I want to commend the representative, the vice chair from Albany, and I particularly want to commend to you the teamwork between him and between the representative from Milwaukee. we can get along and we can get things done. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Further remonstrances, Representative Flores.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, again today, we spent hours on the floor debating legislation that has nothing to do with the core functions of government. Where is the budget for our schools? Where is the budget for our state police? We are not dealing with those issues today. But instead, once again, we are circumventing the will of the voters. We did it once before already, just a couple weeks ago in this session related to Measure 36, and we're doing it again with Measure 37. And let's not forget Measure 39 last November, when 67% of the voters reaffirmed their support for private property rights, and you might recall that as having to do with the Kelo decision. For those of us who disagreed on House Bill 3540, there was inference to our infallible opinions, and basically, we should see it your way and go sit down by our bowl. But let me reinforce for you the importance of circumventing the will of the voters. And let me give you a couple comments as from a 1999 floor debate dealing with minimum wage. I want to ask you to think about what you will say the next time you go back to your district and you go to a town hall and you have people ask you why is it that they should bother to vote when, in fact, the next time they turn around, they find their very same elected officials that they sent to Salem to speak for them revisiting the decisions that they just made. So I would ask you to think long and hard before you cast your vote on this bill. Regardless of what you think about the merits of the bill, there is something much more fundamental at stake, and that is the democratic rights of the voters of the state of Oregon, and all of them today are asking you to vote no. There is something much more fundamental at stake in the bill, and that is the democratic rights of the voters of the state of Oregon. This bill assaults those rights and demonstrates our disdain for the decisions for Oregonians. I will not be a part of that. Colleagues, in 1999, those comments pertaining to minimum wage bill from Speaker Pro Tem Rosenbaum, like her today, I did not want to be a part of the effort to undermine the fundamental rights of voters. I believe we could have reached a compromise to make whatever minor adjustments needed to be made to Measure 37, but no. Instead, what we had today was not about good public policy. It was rather pure politics. This was disrespectful. This was shameful.
Further remonstrances. Adjournment. Representative Comp will adjourn until 11:30 a.m. Monday, May 7th, 2007.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we adjourn until May 7th at 10 a.m.
It's 10 a.m. Representative Comp moves the House adjourn until 10 a.m. Monday, May 7th, 2007. Without objection, the House is adjourned.